like to call this study session of the council to order at 5:53. Mr. Walker. First, we move to changes to the upcoming meeting agenda. Does any member of council have any changes he or she would like to mention?
I do.
Mr. Lickert.
I'm going to make a motion to amend the agenda to remove most of the resolutions. So that would be...
Point of order, I thought we did not vote in study session.
We're not. He's just saying what he's going to do. Is that correct, Mr. Walker? Mr. Clickett, you're not trying to make a motion, are you?
No, I'm just answering your question.
Okay, yes, but thank you.
If there's some changes, then that's a substantive change, so just letting you know. Voting would take place on the dais. Did you get that, Ms. Pump?
Why don't you start singing?
I'll start singing. It's the motion to amend the agenda. With the removal of the resolution, thank you, 12, 13, 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Okay, any other change, Ms. Carr?
Actually, point of order. So if two city council members decide to put something on, another city council member who is not a part of that can remove those?
As I understand the rules, Ms. Pum, a majority could. It can't just be Mr. Clickert, but a majority would have to vote for it.
Okay, so where in the council rules is that?
It's in Robert's rules.
Which means it's in council rules.
Anything else? Mr. Crow?
Yes, I would like to have Barbara Santoro on arts and letters. I believe everybody got her application, as did the city clerk. And so I'd just like to have her put as my replacement on arts and letters.
Okay, so Mr. Crow will be nominating Barbara Santoro to the Arts and Letters Commission. Any other changes?
Madam Mayor, I've got two.
Mr. Walker?
Bill 9129, the traffic code. We're still needing to do some additional work there, so I'm going to be withdrawing that bill. And also... we'll be rescheduling the budget public hearing for the next meeting, which will be June the 9th.
You are withdrawing bill number 9229?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it 9129?
Okay, Ann.
I'm withdrawing it.
Withdrawing it.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I would like to welcome Mr. Jennings to the council table. Mr. Jennings, welcome. We are just going through the approval of at this point in the study session, Mr. Jennings, we ask if there are any changes to the agenda. Mr. Glickert's proposed a change. Mr. Crow's proposed a change, and Mr. Walker has proposed a change. Did you have any changes to the agenda?
Yes, the purchase for the by Waste Quip. I wanted to know if maybe we could postpone that. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the alleys in the third ward, maybe some change to the boxes.
Which agenda item are you referencing, Mr.?
It's in the city manager's report, okay? Am I too far ahead?
Number one?
Yes.
Mr. Walker, item number one, if that was delayed, is there any problem with delaying that? Is there any time frame? Okay. So we will be removing item number one from the city manager's report. Okay. Thank you very much. We now move on to the study session. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. The study session this evening deals with the proposed budget of the Community Development and Recreation Department. Ms. Andrea Riganti, the director of that department, is going to give us a budget presentation. Ms. Riganti.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Good evening. Hopefully you all have had an opportunity to review the draft budget pertaining to community development and recreation, as well as the presentation materials or the materials that were distributed for this this study session. I will be going through the materials distributed for the study session page by page, and then provide an overview. And of course, afterwards, respond to any questions you may have. The first page for the Community Development Department budget that was distributed in the materials is an overview of the department in terms of an organizational chart. It highlights how our department is broken down into four divisions. We have essentially an administrative division, which is comprised of our clerical staff as well as myself. There are five employees in that division. Construction facilities, construction services and facilities maintenance, that is comprised of our building inspectors, property maintenance inspectors, as well as the facilities maintenance supervisor and the custodians, all of whom take care of the city-owned facilities. And we have planning, zoning, economic development, community development. We have three staff members in that division. And then finally, we have a recreation division, which is comprised of golf, community center, aquatics, and Centennial Commons. We have five staff members in that division, and full-time and 28 part-time members. Going to the next page of the handout just is a description of what our department does. Hopefully you all are familiar enough with our department, having interacted with it. But essentially, we enforce all codes, property maintenance, building, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, environmental. We have the dog catcher, animal control officer in our division. We coordinate all economic development activities for the city, perform zoning review. We are also responsible for advising on matters affecting the physical development of the city, and as I indicated before, are responsible for the operations and maintenance of city-owned facilities such as this building, as well as those that are on other campuses, Centennial Commons, Community Center, etc. We also are responsible for the municipal-owned parking garage, which is located in the Loop. And our department provides staff support for 11 boards and commissions, many of which you all are liaised to. The third page and the fourth page are essentially our personnel summaries. I will just indicate that there are no changes from prior year. So to sum the divisions that I provided an overview of, we have 33 full-time employees in those four divisions. And then again, we are authorized 29 personnel part-time in those divisions as well, primarily in the recreation division, the camp counselors, lifeguards, our staff members over at Centennial Commons and the community center. The next page is an overview of the department budget, which has a pie chart that has a breakdown essentially of where the funds are being allocated, the expenditures per division. But before we get to that, I just want to mention some major goals, projects, and challenges that we're going to undertake in FY15. That was in the overall draft budget. But not included in the materials, but again, just want to highlight some of the things we'll be working on. We'll continue to carry out economic development work plan activities for the city, which we indicate is in an REA, retention, expansion, and attraction effort. And we are going to focus on Olive Boulevard, continue to expand and improve our REA efforts and partnerships. We're going to continue with the comprehensive plan update process, which we initiated just a couple of weeks ago. We're going to continue with neighborhood stabilization and housing efforts in the Northeast community. We've done some infill housing construction in partnership with Habitat for Humanity. We're going to continue that, and we've also been discussing other infill opportunities with other potential partners. We are going to continue with the facility improvement plans to all city-owned buildings. As you all know, this building is old, and with old has some major challenges. At some point, we're going to have to make some tough decisions with respect to this building as well as others, such as the community center, which will hopefully be guided through the Heman Park master planning process. We are going to continue to improve our inspection and scheduling options, improve some response to nuisances for the public and contractors through our online system as well as telephone systems. We want to expand marketing and promotion of our recreation facilities and programs, and we're working with Brighton on rolling out some marketing materials, and we're going to target specific communities as well as populations and trying to increase our memberships. And we want to review and improve the city's development subsidy policies, and we'll be coming to City Council at some point for some guidance with respect to that. And as I briefly mentioned, some of our challenges with respect to our budget are just basically the aging facilities. Right now we're in a kind of a maintenance and holding pattern until such time that we have some additional guidance through some planning documents before we make some of our tough decisions. So with respect to the overall expenditure for the department's budget, we are proposing an increase of very modest increase of about 4%, which is primarily due to personnel increases with a 2% cost of living or a 2% increase to our salaries. With that, I will continue on and go over some programs in a little bit more detail, just again highlighting some of the major differences from last fiscal year to this fiscal year. So the first program is simply a community development, and it's account number 4540. Again, if you look at the personnel services, there's an increase of 2%, which does equate to the 2% cost increase to salaries. There is a significant increase if you look at our maintenance contract under contractual services, which is 6050. The increase is 235%, and that's essentially because all IT functions, which were previously separated out and put into an IT budget, are now included in each department or division budget. So that increase reflects some IT-related maintenance that we have for our online permitting system, which is called MyGov, as well as some other issues. We have an increase of 100% or $15,000 for demolition and board up. In the prior years, that those funds were not allocated to the city to this department budget. They are this year. As you all know, if we have some problem properties and nuisances, city has to be proactive and board them up in order to keep them safe and secure. If we do have to demolish property because it is been escalated to that level and undergone the due process, then we do put a lien on the property and try to recover that. However, we are not recovering the cost of demolition and board up. We do have a modest increase, again, with memberships and certifications. We have a number of staff that are certified in their various disciplines, including, very proud to say, we have more certified inspectors than in the past 2 years, and we want to continue that. That helps us with our insurance ratings for fire and as well as for our residents. So we certainly want to maintain and improve those certifications for our staff. Continuing on to facilities maintenance.
Ms. Briganti, could I ask, are you getting a part-time person? It's a small amount, but the $2,000 up at the top, part-time and temporary. What's that?
We have a partnership with, pardon me if I, for the name has evolved over the years. It used to be Judevine, essentially a part-time employee that we hire to do some clerical work for us, and we're going to continue with that.
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Mr. Glickard?
Thank you. Ms. Briganti, You just alluded to inspectors, and I'd like to know where are we at with multi-discipline inspectors at this point?
In terms of the number of them?
Yes.
If you go to our organizational chart, we have five multidiscipline inspectors, which are the what we're calling the trades, the electrical, et cetera. What we're trying to do essentially is cross-train our inspectors because despite the economy in 2008 kind of impacting the nation, we were still busy as our residents chose to stay in the house and in their homes and make improvements and additions. So we are trying to cross-train our inspectors better so that, you know, we continue to respond to them. We're not increasing the number, but...
Okay. Secondly, back to the nuisance houses property. Can you give us a cursory estimation of how many homes or property we took down last year, let's say in the last 8-10 months? What is on the horizon right now?
I can get that number for you. Just in terms of the overall process, it's a very slow, cumbersome process. We have to hold hearings, et cetera. Generally, we don't demolish any more than 5 per year, but I can certainly get that number. We do have a number of properties that are in various stages of citation, but we don't want it to get to that stage because we don't want to create what's called the broken teeth where you have a very stable block and then in the middle of the block you have a vacant property. So our hope is to get these properties back into livable condition and better maintained rather than demolish, unless it's just simply a health safety issue. Okay. In terms of our facilities budget, the only difference that I'd like to point out is that in we don't really have any significant increases. We do have some emergency projects that have appeared over the year, including a sewer line that we had to replace outside of and a boiler replacement, things like that that come up. Though we try to be proactive, it's really a challenge with this building. We are constantly seeking grants to try to preserve the historical integrity while making some cosmetic as well as maintenance and convenience improvements. But again, as I alluded to before, at some point we're going to have to make some real hard decisions with respect to the building, and we'll be looking to council for guidance. Moving on to the community center, the major increase again is to building maintenance, which is $6,360 under account number 4549, and the increase is 433%. And that is, again, we're dealing with an older facility that we're trying to retrofit, make pretty, etc., for not only hosting our board and commission meetings, but we also do rent it out for various events. So we are maintaining the building. We need things like shade. Anybody who's been in the building recently knows that it's kind of hard to see if the sunlight hits the commission members in a certain way. So we are trying to maintain and make some improvements to the building, and that is the primary reason for the increase. And just in terms of the performance of the community center, we are again looking to the Heeman Park master plan for some guidance with respect to the long-term disposition and use of the facility, and that's why we aren't proposing any major cosmetic or other improvements to the building. But it does continue to be rented out. Our bookings have actually increased slightly over the past previous fiscal year, so that's an indication that there is a demand for that facility or some type of facility in the area. Moving on to aquatics, we have no significant changes other than a slight decrease to miscellaneous improvements. This fiscal year, we made some improvements to the pool house, which we intended to do things such as some major cosmetic improvements to the facility. However, we did discover that the stucco had a hole in the exterior, so we used some of the miscellaneous improvements that were budgeted for these other cosmetic upgrades to repair that facility, and in the meantime have made some improvements to the pool prior to its opening this past weekend. which I will anecdotally or incidentally report that we had about 1,000 people over the past 3 days attend the pool. Thank you. Moving on to Centennial Commons, the major increase to that is just for marketing, and that is, again, we are trying to increase participation in our in use of our programs as well as the facility. We're competing with these pop-up fitness centers. You all know the membership dues on I shouldn't even name them, but they're very small with in comparison to our facility, so we're trying to reach a broader audience and, again, are increasing our advertising and public notices as well as our marketing materials for that facility.
Ms. Raganti, could I ask why the pension contributions in that one department went down so much when everybody else's seemed to go up? Is there something I was missing there?
I would defer to the Director of Finance for a response to that.
We have a few staff that allocate their salaries and benefit to community center. And for the pension purpose, it would be easier to just keep, you know, them, you know, at the other place. Yeah.
So they go from the community center to the
just for these two staff who working at Centennial Commons and also at community centers, and we allocate their salaries and benefit. Yeah. Right. Part of it to the chair between the two places. Yeah.
So they went down 58 Centennial Commons.
Community center.
87%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
How Mr. much Sharp? Does it cost for a senior citizen to join the community commons for, let's say, if they want to walk around or if they want to use some of the equipment?
I will get the exact numbers to you. There's also a program that we participate in called Senior Silver Sneakers and Senior Fit, which offers a certain discount for income-qualified individuals. So the rate is going to vary depending on the income level of the senior citizens. But I can provide
that
to
you. You can get that for me.
Yes, sir. Okay. Moving on to public parking garage, we have no significant changes in that division. The final division to which I will speak is the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax. And what you all had before you in your packet was materials, was a memorandum from me to Mr. Walker and the Director of Finance with the recommendations from the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board. The budget has subsequently been reformatted as per the entire budget, and that will be provided to you all at a later date. But I think it's more appropriate for this discussion to go over what was submitted in the memo so that you all have an opportunity to see the projects that were recommended for funding versus the broad categories that are presented in the budget. Just as a reminder, the use of the sales tax, the fourth of a cent sales tax, is governed by state statute Chapter 67 as well as 120.520 of our municipal code. So there are activities for which any project or program receiving funding must adhere to or follow. We did this year, as in prior years with this budget, was call for applications from qualified individuals, groups, organizations, as well as program some projects ourselves, the city, whether it be the Public Works Department or Community Development or another department. Then we ensured that all applications met our allowable use of the funds, as well as the priorities established by the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board. Then we held a public hearing on April 9th to hear from any interested residents and community organizations, their suggestions. And then finally, we offered a recommendation, and the Sales Tax Board on April 23rd adopted a budget for the use of the funds. We are programming 575, which is near the anticipated revenues for that sales tax. And you can see from the memorandum that I submitted that there are a number of projects that provide economic benefits citywide. And a number of partners, including the Loop Special Business District, UCD and Bloom, the Chamber, and others that partner with us on the use of the funds. Essentially, that is the budget for the Department of Community Development, and at this time, I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the larger amounts in the Economic Development Sales Tax Fund, are we going to be getting RFPs for these, or how does this work? Where we've got something that's called the Collaborative for $45,000, is that something that gets an RFP? And we have several people then that we choose from to hire?
For this specific project, we are not issuing an RFP. We have consulted with the Department of Economic Development on who can and cannot receive funds for the project. If it's city-sponsored, we follow our RFP process, or if it's an affiliate of the city. So, for example, the LSBD, which is a SBD under our auspices, we ask them to do an RFP. For this, we are not asking for an RFP. It is a project that has been presented to us that we will manage.
So there's no budget or bidding. It's just this is out there, and now we're going to fund a private business group without getting any bids at all.
That's correct. And if I may elaborate with respect to this project, staff, the request for funds was greater than the staff recommendation because we felt that the study should be the scope of work should be redefined and give the city something that we in the community in consultation with the board and hopefully the city council were looking for with respect to Olive Boulevard. We did consult with, again, Department of Economic Development, the St. Louis County partnership, and also the Chamber of Commerce, the Regional Chamber of Commerce, on what we are looking for in terms of fiber. And so this was a study that we felt would meet the regional as well as our local needs.
So you wanted less money and the EDRST put in more money? Did I get that one right?
No, sir. The Collaborative wanted more money, and we recommended a reduction because we felt what they were presenting to us wasn't necessarily what we felt as a community.
And so this Collaborative, it already exists, and they've done this before, or this is a new thing, or what?
The Collaborative as an entity hasn't existed before. The partnership was formed for this specific project as well as others in the area and Walston and other communities. The whole fiber study is relatively new to our community, though it's been in existence in other communities like Chattanooga, and the Collaborative is modeling their approach, and we've asked them to model their approach after those communities.
And we didn't want to use the same folks that Chattanooga used or anybody else. To me, when we're spending this much money, I guess it begs the question as to who is the Collaborative, who are they, what's their history, what's their background, and I'd like that information if I could get it, please.
Sure.
And the same I'd ask, I guess, candidly on the Loop Media Hub, because again, to me, and this one may be further along because it's part of the trolley, I don't know, but same idea. Has someone already been selected? Are we bidding this out, or
who is the Luton Media Hub and who's going to do that work and what's their experience level versus anybody else?
Correct. I will provide that information, but we have, as best possible, vetted these folks. In terms of the collaborative, as I said before, as an entity, they haven't existed before, but there are partners that are major partners in the collaborative that have done similar work in other communities. The overall team, though, it consists of some local, some Midwestern folks, et cetera.
And then finally, the Chamber of Commerce request, if we sort of compare it to every other thing that is funded, the level of detail, even for our own City of University, Cities Development, Community Development, our funds have greater detail provided to us than the $49,427 that were given to the Chamber of Commerce.
I will provide additional detail to you on the Chamber's request.
Ms. Carr?
I have something along the same question. Since we are doing no bid on these, and you, I thought I heard you say that you had checked with the State Department on Economic Development to see that that was acceptable?
I checked with them with respect to whom the funds could be allocated. The staff had some concerns as to whether or not private entities that that could benefit could have some kind of gain from the funds, some kind of monetary gain from public funds, whether or not we could allocate funds to them, and they did indicate yes.
Okay, and did you also indicate to them that this is a no-bid contract?
There is no requirement for these funds to be bid out by DED.
Okay, may I see those? Can you send me that information that says that there are no requirements and that you have contact? I mean, I'd like to see the information because it concerns me greatly. I know who the partners are, and I think some of them are friends of various people, and I'd like to make sure that we have this covered. It is an audit kind of item, so I'd like to make sure that that is covered, especially since we're talking about substantial amounts of money. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sharp?
Are any of the people in the loop that's doing the fiber optics, are they some of the people who will be involved on all of it?
No.
None of them?
Correct.
Any other questions of Ms. Riganti? Well, okay. Well, like it's 6:05. I guess our session is over. We will convene in about 24 minutes. Thank you all.